Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Initialize sequence now.
Join the countdown. For actors, modeling, singers, songwriters, musicians, dancers, performers, and voiceovers from across the nation to across the world. Here with Dawn Reiss on Hollywood Connections on Tan Talk Radio 106.1 FM.
Hey, this is Vern Troyer, and you're listening to Dawn Reiss's Hollywood Connections.
Hey, what up, you guys? It's your girl, Vivica Fox. You are watching Hollywood Connections on Tan Talk Radio with Dawn. Little foxy thing. Enjoy.
Hi, you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reiss, and I'm Kathleen Gatti from General Hospital, Dr. Liesl Obrecht.
Hello, I'm Butch Patrick, and you're listening to Dawn Reiss's Tan Talk Radio, Hollywood Connections.
John Schneider, you're listening to Dawn Reiss on Hollywood Connections.
Listening to Hollywood Connections, I'm Kirstie Alley.
You are listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn.
And this is Kelly Preston. I'm so excited.
Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream? Everybody comes here. This is Hollywood, land of dreams. Some dreams come true, some don't. But keep on dreaming. This is Hollywood. Always time to dream, so keep on dreaming.
Hi, everybody. Dawn is actually on assignment today. Welcome to the fourth edition of the Man Cave. Today, we're going to go right to a special guest. He'll be appearing at Side Splitters. His name is Tom Cotter. Awesome. Me and my wife watched him last night. Oh, God, he's so funny. Tom, are you there?
I'm here.
Tom, I got to tell you, my wife was actually rolled off the couch last night.
Your wife has impeccable taste in comedy.
Oh, I agree. But welcome to the Man Cave. Now, you're going to be playing tonight and tomorrow. You're going to be on a few minutes, so I know you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, we got three shows tonight here. I'm on the first two, and the third is a lot of fun. It's like a showcase, it's a competition. And then tomorrow night, one show.
Okay, well, we're gonna be giving away two tickets for that show for tomorrow too for one of our audience, which is a pretty cool thing. America's Got Talent. It probably had to be the best experience in your life, obviously, right?
It was, far and away the best thing I've done on television. We all do the late night stuff, but the amount of eyeballs you get in prime time is dramatically better than the stuff you see late at night. So I got very lucky that season, and it was really good right up until I lost to a dog act at the end.
Yeah. Well, they were cute. They were cute dogs. I mean, if you had a tutu on, you might have won.
If it was Korea's Got Talent, I probably would have won.
Yeah,
well,
they'd have been on the plate.
Yeah, they'd have been on the plate. It would have been a snack bar. sorry.
I was the top human finisher, I tell everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also watched the one with you and Joan Rivers doing the roast. That was hilarious.
People tell me that was her last televised appearance.
I thought it was. As a matter of fact, I said that to my wife. It had to be.
She was so nice to do that for me because they had never had a comedian in the finals. So, they have this thing called duets. The end where they used to have singers sing with whoever they looked up to in the music industry, and our season was the first season with no singing acts in the top six, which is the finals, and so they didn't know what to do with us, and they decided we were going to roast the judges. And first they asked Lisa Lampanelli, and she was all locked and loaded to do it, but then she pissed off somebody at NBC on The Apprentice, so they fired her at the last second. And then they asked Joan to do it, and literally with one day's notice Joan came in like a white knight and did the roast with me, and she was could not have been more gracious and wonderful and spectacular. So it was really great.
That had to be an incredible experience for you. It really must have. All right, favorite judge. Who was your favorite judge?
Far and away, favorite judge, Howard Stern. He was my guy from the beginning, and he was, Howie is great because he's a comedian. I was very lucky. I also had my three judges were Howie Mandel, Howard Stern, and Sharon Osbourne. And
right.
Sharon really wanted the dogs. And Howie was kind of torn between a few of us, and Howard was my guy. So he was my favorite. And I also, leaving myself out of it, I thought he was the fairest judge. I thought he said that the crappy acts were crappy, and he said that the good acts were good. So I agreed with almost all of his decisions.
Yeah. Well, I thought your stuff was excellent. I thought, I agreed, your timing was absolutely perfect. You're really kind. You've got a really good thing going. And I mean, where are you going to go? Are you going to look into getting into movies? Are you going to do anything like that in the future? Because I mean, you got the name, you got the look. I mean, I could picture you very easily in something like The Office or something kind of movie like that. Anything going on like that for you?
That's funny that you mentioned The Office. I went to a tiny little college in Ohio called Denison University, and Steve Carell, who is the star of The Office, graduated 2 years ahead of me at that same little school. We're less than 2,000 students, and nobody knew who he was in college. No, he was a wallflower, and now he makes $20 million a movie.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'd do any of that stuff. That was my third reality show on NBC. I was also on Last Comic Standing, and I had a very small part on Dateline to Catch a Predator, but I don't want to talk about that. And my wife went further than I did on Last Comic Standing, and don't think I don't hear about that every time we have an argument.
You do.
But it's great. You know, next step, probably rehab. But after that, who knows?
Yeah. I'd love to see you in the future. I think.
Well, come on down tomorrow.
I'm going to try, actually. I am. I'm going to try.
Night. What do you got going on? Church?
In my life, I have a very crazy life, but it's hard for me to get a sitter right now. Nearly impossible. My son, who would do it, is in Vegas right now, and my daughter's got to work, so I really have a hard time getting a sitter. See, I have a lot of kids.
You're a big breeder, huh?
Yeah, I'm a big breeder, but I'm also the youngest, just like you are, in my family.
Oh, yeah.
Dawn, the person who does this show, usually this show is about Hollywood and entertainment and how to get into it without getting ripped off and things like that. But she has a lot of directors and producers and stuff on the show all the time, and they listen all the time. So, Dawn's a good person for you to get a hold of in the future, too. So how long do we got before you got to get on stage?
Well, the show started at 6, but I'm not up right away, so I can chat with you for a few more minutes.
Cool. You also have two other guys here with me. One is John. John actually does the show with us. He also makes those backyard kitchens, you know, those really sharp ones with everything in it. And
oh, cool.
We also have Bert here, who's my brother-in-law, Dawn's husband. He's part of the show. And what our show is about, it's called The Man Cave. And it's about guy stuff. And your comedy is right up our alley.
So, absolutely. It's awesome.
And Bert, do you have any questions for John about America's Got Talent, or how about you? You got to have something.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you were on America's Got Talent, what was going through your mind? I know that a lot of people out there are just trying to figure out life and how to live life passionately, and obviously your entire passion and what you do comes through in your comedy. Is there any advice or anything you could tell everybody about that experience and how to, you know, seize that moment?
I get the call from the Friars Club. I've been a member of the Friars Club in New York for 20 years almost, and they called me because they overheard a conversation. The producers of the show were having lunch, and they were this was the last city. New York was the last city that they were in, and they were complaining that they didn't have enough comedians. So the maitre d' of the Friars Club called me and said, you got to get down there today and audition. And I never wanted to audition before because Pierce Morgan was in the seat that Howard was taking over, and Pierce Morgan hated American comedians and would not only not help their career, he would set the careers back, like by eviscerating them on national television. So I said, up until season 7, there's no way I'm doing that show. And then when Howard took over in that seat, I figured Howie Mandel, Howard Stern, Sharon Osbourne is as good a judge's lineup for a comedian as there has been. So I went down, I auditioned, and it worked out great. If anybody wants to go out for the show or is thinking about it, I say go for it, because it was obviously, it turned my career around completely, and it's the best thing I ever did. It was nerve-wracking. I'm a middle-aged man, and I had acne and diarrhea that whole summer because I was so nervous. But, I was 15 pounds lighter. But if you get past that, if you can get past the fact that there are 40 million eyeballs on you every time you open your mouth on the show. Some of those are your family members, your dad, your wife, your kids. That's nerve-wracking. But if you can get over the nerves, The rest of it is gravy, and it's you become flavor of the month because everybody sees you, and it's the best thing I ever did.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I got one. The big dice and the category. You know, it's he did something on one of the America's Got Talent where he took a big thing of dice and he had different categories on each side, and whatever it landed on was the routine he was going to do. So he just doesn't have one basic routine. He does a lot. And that I thought was really a cool thing. I mean, that takes some talent right there, guy.
I stressed about that. That was in the finals. And in the semifinals, I did something similar called Comedy on Demand, where I put up a big board and I let Howie pick a topic.
I saw that one, too.
And the reason I did that is because it's such a huge stage. And, I feel they kept saying every time you moved on from one round to the next, they'd say, you got to up your game the next time. And I'm like, how the hell am I going to up my game? I just tell jokes. So I decided to do the whole jukebox kind of thing where they could pick the topic. And, it worked out pretty well for me, I think. But I just practiced it. I had a lot of downtime before my next episode was going to air. So I went to all the 18 clubs in New York City. So I went around to all the clubs and just kept practicing all the topics. And you only had to do 90 seconds for each topic. That's all they give you. So I had it down, and I was ready to go whenever they picked something.
Well, it worked out, though.
It did, but I did lose to a dog act. Let's not lose sight of the fact that I lost to a dog act.
Again, if you'd had a tutu on, you might have won.
That was, Britain's Got Talent was won by a dog act that year, too. It was the year of the dog, and that's the way it is.
Sharon is a big dog person. I mean, if you watch
and
the Osbournes.
She's definitely rooting for the dogs, no question about that.
She is definitely a dog person. And
but everyone thought, early on they thought that the Earth, there was a guy who played an enormous harp called the Earth Harp. They thought either he would win or there was this amazing sand artist who was great. He told stories by drawing in sand.
Right.
So everyone thought they would win. So I showed up at the finals with wire cutters and a leaf blower. But what I should have had was poison puppy treats, because who knew the dogs were going to win the whole damn thing?
Yeah, really. Now, you have kids too, right?
Three that I know of.
Three that you know of. And how old are your kids?
My twins are 14 and my youngest is 10.
So how do they feel? How do their friends feel about you being on TV and stuff? What are the reactions like that? It's got to make your kids proud.
It was, America's Got Talent ends in September. So they were, they had been back in school for about a month. And, all those, it's a family show. So all their friends were watching the show anyway. And so they got to be on TV. So that was pretty cool. Up until then, they thought I was a rodeo clown. They had no idea what I was. So that was pretty neat. And my wife is also a stand-up comic, because who needs health insurance? And so, she got to be a part of it, too. So it was really a great family bonding experience. And the kids don't care. They just want their bills paid. So they don't care what you do. You could be a plumber or a doctor or an astronaut or a comedian. So they've been pretty supportive of my career, but what are they going to do, move out if they didn't?
Exactly. Now, once you go to this show, when you get done, do you go home for a week or do you go right to another spot?
I really do go to rehab. I'm kidding. No, I don't go to rehab. I from here, I go back to New York. I'm in Manhattan all week doing stuff, a couple of corporates, and then I have a benefit on Friday night and then spots in the city on Saturday night. And then the weekend after that, I'm at Levity Live, which is a comedy club up in New York. It's in the suburbs, closer to where I live. And then the week right after Levity Live, I go to Aruba. And we're going to do 9 days in Aruba. There's a comedy club down there, and we're going to spend Thanksgiving down there with the wife and kids. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Sounds great. I wish I could go.
Yeah. Aruba?
We're all working stiffs here, but we don't get to travel like that yet. We're working on it, though. We're all big boaters and things, too. So,
you live in Tampa. Boo-hoo. Your life is a vacation.
Yeah, yeah. My wife says all the time, she goes, I need to go on vacation. And I go, what do you mean? You live where people come to vacation.
Yeah, this is a vacation destination.
Yeah. We live in Clearwater, and Clearwater is awesome. And by the way, if you were here, and you didn't have to work late, we always do a barbecue at my house after the show. And we have some phenomenal barbecue people and stuff like that that come over. But if you ever get a chance next time you're in town, you know.
I'm invited to the barbecue. I'm a carnivore. I love barbecue.
If you want to, we're doing rib tips tonight.
Oh, Jesus. I'm salivating.
I bought stuff. 10 pounds of rib tips tonight.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm jealous.
If you want to come, I'll call Side Splitters and I'll give you my address. You can bring somebody if you want. I don't care.
I'm not out of here. We got 3 shows tonight. Third one, I might do a little guest set on, but I got 2 more shows before I can get out of here. But that's a very kind offer. You were brought up right. You're very gracious, and I appreciate the kind offer.
Like I said, anytime you're in town, anytime.
I like it.
So just give us a call and say, hey, yeah, this is Tom Cotter. Tommy invited me to the show whenever I want to come back in town, and then plan to come to the barbecue. Because, I mean, we're Southern Boy barbecue guys, and we know how to cook.
I'm all over that. I'm not a good cook. I make beans and rice, but I use jelly beans.
We have a buddy of mine that has a barbecue business called Moose and Scooters Barbecue. We actually are going to be tasting his sauce tonight on the
Moose
air.
Moose and Scooters?
Moose and Scooters Barbecue, and it's actually a family recipe from his wife's that goes way back, okay? And when he married into her, he inherited the sauce. So we're going to be trying that online tonight, and that's what we're making the rib tips with tonight.
I'm a perverted guy, because when you said we have to taste his sauce and his sauce is in her, I got all kinds of dirty images in my brain, and I apologize.
I agree. So a lot of people say, well, you've got a dirty mind, you're a pervert. And I say, no, I'm not. I'm an expert. I'm really good at it.
I like it.
All right.
I hate to cut this short. I got to go tell jokes to these people.
Right on.
Tom, I'm going to try to finagle a sitter for tomorrow. So, all right?
Yeah, do that. And call down, and we'll definitely get you on the list. So, you can come in for free. We'd love to have you. And thanks so much for the invitation to the barbecue. I'm now salivating. I got to go tell jokes with drool coming out of the corners of my mouth, and I blame you.
I'm sorry. Well, get a napkin from the green room. All right?
You wouldn't want to touch anything in this green room.
I bet. Well, you have a good show tonight, all right?
Break a leg. I appreciate it, guys. Enjoy your show. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
All right.
Thanks, Tom, for coming on.
Wasn't that great? Yeah, I want to go to the show really bad. I really do, but it's so hard to find a sitter. It just is. Otherwise, that wasn't that great?
Yeah, Tom, that was awesome.
He's a funny guy. It's really cool of Side Splitters, too, to say, hey, you guys got 2 free tickets to give out. Mm-hmm. Now we're just trying to figure a way to give them out to somebody. So we're going to figure that out before the end of the show. All right?
Absolutely.
So stay tuned, and we'll be giving 2 tickets for Tom Cotter tomorrow.
Right. Meantime, we need to thank Don Reese.
Correct.
For letting us have this hour for the 4th edition of the Man Cave. And she's on assignment in Alabama with Barbizon. Searching for the next supermodel.
Yep.
Male models are now welcome at Barbizon as well.
Are they?
Yeah, up to 17 years of age. They have, obviously, girls been forever. But recently, in the last year or so, they do take boys or young men and for modeling and self-esteem and things of that sort.
Right, right. They actually do a lot of stuff that people don't realize. We say, oh, they're not just an agency. They teach you what to do, okay, to get into the business and be successful at it. What you need, what are they looking for in a headshot, what kind of things are involved in, experience that you have to have. They'll explain all this to you. They'll teach you. It's not just an agency, it's an acting, mm-hmm.
It's a modeling school where they teach you how to walk and talk like a regular lady. that's what they're gearing at. And you can always tell the girls in the malls that have had formal training, the way they walk and the way they carry themselves, their posture, shoulder structure.
And there's a confidence thing
yes,
to it.
Yes, absolutely.
So it is really a good thing to have. And my sister, I love her, is one of the people to get in contact to about that also. She can get you set up.
Her code name at Barbizon is Reese.
Reese. R-E-E-S-E, guys. And girls. Up to 17.
Yes. So. Absolutely. And also we need to thank MyPillow.com and code name Beach.
Codename Beach.
Yep.
Codename
Beach. And best pillows ever. You just need to order them, get them. You'll fall in love with them. You'll be fighting over them. Me and the wife, we fight over them every night. We have, I think, four of them now.
Yeah, and then the kids will steal them. They'll lay down on the floor in your room in front of the TV, and then you got to go to bed and your pillow's on the floor. That's yeah. But best thing is just to get them all their own pillows.
Right. Absolutely. And I have a quick shout out to Florida Fuel Injection, Percy. This is a man cave. If you have a diesel engine and you have injectors, turbos, things of that sort, this is the place to service that equipment. Their telephone number is 727-528-4400. And they're right here in Clearwater. And really great people to work with, and they've done a lot of work on our boat engine, Tommy.
Yeah,
and hopefully that will be fired up tomorrow.
And they'll also answer questions that you have. You know, there's a lot of mechanics, they won't tell you anything. You know, especially if they do the part for you or rebuild the part for you, and then you want to put it in. A lot of companies are like, I'm not going to tell you how to do it. You know, these guys will tell you how to do it. They test it, they check it. I wish they would have put it in, but
oh yeah, that was a beast to put in, but yeah, we got it.
So
nightmare.
Oh, yeah. What else we got?
Large fingers, there? Tiny bolts.
That's no, it. That's it. And then we're talking a few minutes for a while about the backyard kitchens.
Okay.
I want to hit that really bad because, they're really, you know, I work in an industry where I work in construction all the time. Okay, it's my day job. Okay, and then I have guys like John here who does the backyard kitchens, and it's so cool to walk in a backyard. Okay, it's classy. Okay, not just that, it's fun, and it gets you like it's like opening another room or another house to your house. You walk in the back and it's like you're just on a different place, and mm-hmm. especially here in Florida, guys, yeah. It's nice and the weather's great right now to cook outside.
Hell yeah,
you know. But you walk in and then they have this fire pit and it has these blue stones in it, okay, and it's a concrete circle and it's blue stones and they light up.
Okay? Oh, absolutely.
And you know, and then the flame comes up too through it, and it's a clean burning flame. And then like the grills that these guys that they put in these things. They're not like your Weber grill or, you know, something like that where you pin it up.
No box store grills
it's
there.
It's tin. It's only, you know, so big. This is a lid that you lift, you go, you know, I mean, it's a lid. And they put refrigerators out there. They put, I mean, cabinets out there, you know, and you walk outside. Now, I like it, and we talked about this before, and I'm going to give this over to you in just absolutely. A half a second. But I like it because, like, okay, in the summertime when you're cooking in your house and the oven's burning, and the you know the stovetops are burning, and it's 90 degrees outside, you know, you anyways. Don't want that extra heat in your house. With the outdoor kitchen, you can go outside. Kids could be in the pool if you have a pool in the backyard. You're in your outdoor kitchen cooking. If you get hot at the grill, you can always jump in the pool too.
And absolutely.
Jump right back out. You
yeah,
know?
You don't have to worry about getting the kitchen wet on the inside either.
Exactly. You know, and you don't even have to go inside at all. You can keep the door shut and save the air, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, absolutely. The equipment that they have for outdoor living now is absolutely phenomenal. Coming from a restaurant background and seeing what they have for the outdoor living arena is pretty impressive. They have industrial grade builds to them. I mean, one of the brands that I like the most is Lynx, LYNX, and they have a 25-pound cast burner, brass burner that comes with a lifetime warranty. So unlike those big box stores that you have to replace every 3 to 5 years, I mean, these grills are made with marine grade stainless steel. They have brass burners. They come with pro sear units. They get to 1,000 degrees in 20 seconds, rotisseries, LED lights, all the bells and whistles you could possibly want for an outdoor grill to add ambiance and have a good look, you know, because some people think, wow, I don't really want a grill right in my face while I'm sitting at the bar. But when this grill's there, it just looks like it's meant to be, you know, beautiful, shiny stainless steel, clean design, and even has the lighting features to, you know, incorporated into the ambiance. And it really is we what I enjoy about my job is I get to go and create places for families to create memories. And whether it's a simplistic, just a landing for a grill or in a platter, all the way to a full-blown resort-style backyard, I get to have fun at my job because I know that at the end result, whether it's the little grill or the full-blown backyard, I'm creating a space for that family to create memories in. And it's just an enjoyment of my mind to be able to do that. But when I really get to work with a client that goes all out, it is amazing to see what's possible in people's backyards. They can really recreate their favorite vacation in their backyard by creating resort style living.
Yeah, as I said, I work for a company that does all low voltage and the TVs and things like that. And we put a lot on patios. Matter of fact, it's Secure Pro in Tampa. Great bunch of guys. One of the things I used to have was I had a projector outside. Mm-hmm. And I had taken a screen and I hang it at the pool.
Right.
Okay. I have speakers out there. And literally you could sit on an inner tube in the pool and you're watching movies. Okay. Used to do it all the time. We actually had a lake behind our house that people would park on the other side of the lake. It was more like a retention pond. But they would sit and watch our movies, okay? And that was really cool. I had a friend of mine named Chris Helton. He was on the air a couple of times with Don. And he said, Tommy, you know, the motorcycles are cool. This is cool. This is cool. But he pointed to the theater and he went, now that is awesome. Right. And, you know, you get music out there too. And you know, it, now picture you have the outdoor kitchen.
Right. Okay?
The fire pit, the pool, the movie theater. That, you know, and then picture it's any party, Christmas, Daytona 500, Super Bowl, you know, something like
you create one of those backyard living spaces where your mind's blown and you just love to sit back there. You're going to create holidays to have an excuse to have a party.
Well, you know, I have one after every radio show in my house. I have a very unique house. I actually have a hammock right by my grill. Okay. That if I want to lay in my hammock and flip burgers,
yeah,
I've done it.
I know, and that's what I was planning on doing this evening was laying in the hammock and flipping
riblets. Grill around for you. Yeah, it works.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, your movie theater at your home just is amazing. It blew my mind.
Black light, by the way.
Oh, did you? Room.
Yes, all I right. did. I added a black light, and it's really nice because it doesn't interfere. Now, the screen I have is a black diamond.
Right.
It's a great screen. Basically when you're watching a movie and you have really any kind of food or a drink or anything like that, you can't see it. Well, now you hit the black light and we have these colored glasses.
Oh, nice.
That light up to the black light. So now when you're sitting in the theater, you don't have to dive for your glass or look for your glass on the edge because it's dark.
Right.
Now you just look for the glowing glass and pick it up. So it was something I added in, but I fix a lot of stuff like that, guys. SecurePro can do that for you, the company I work for. And
yep. And then
your company is
Premier Outdoor Living and Design. You can check us out at www.premieroutdoorlivinganddesign.com. Fill out a form for us to come out and do an estimate for you. And been in business for over 9 years, have done over 1,200 outdoor projects in that 9 years. And we're, you know, going strong. And it's just, again, the company isn't about over designing for you and trying to sell you something you don't want. The company is there to service the client and give them what they want. And that's what you can expect when you give us a call. We're not going to be pushy salesmen or trying to convince you that you need more than what you want. We're there to service your needs and create that space for memories.
You know, to deal with somebody like that, and you know, there's a lot of people, you do sales there too, right?
Correct. Yeah. Sales and design.
Okay. When you get a guy like John and he's your sales guy, it's just really cool because John's a guy that you can become friends with really easy. Okay. I've only known John for 4 shows and we're friends.
Oh yeah.
And he's cooking at my house cause he's a better cook than I am. Okay. You know, he's a real personal guy and he's not the guy that once he sells you tomorrow, he's not going to answer your calls. Okay. John is going to follow through. And if something goes wrong, he's the guy that you'd call and go,
absolutely.
Hey, John, come on. You know, this isn't right or whatever. And he's going to be the first one at your door to make sure it's right. I just know the kind of guy.
Absolutely, yeah. We've had a couple customers that I've had to go follow up with and went out there and just for the trouble, on my own accord, I stopped at one of my favorite butcher shops, got them some marinated beef tips, and then we sat down and had a conversation, and we created a game plan to fix any deficiencies that they thought needed to be handled. And we were out there the next day, got it taken care of, and got them up and running with their outdoor grill, and got my text message the next day thanking me for the beef tips, because, you know, the beef tips are amazing, I got to tell you.
Well, I did the pork ones tonight, but like I said, we got a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I do have a question, though, because I tried to do this, and I got to find out how to do it. When I do a regular rack of ribs, because I did a regular rack of pork ribs,
mm-hmm.
and I tried to take that film off the back.
Right.
It didn't work for me.
Oh, yeah. It's time, patience.
Is there a trick?
There's not so much a trick as there is repetition and patience. It's you see it on the TV shows and the barbecue pit masters and all that, where they just do a little cut, grab it with their forefinger and thumb and just rip it off in one piece. That's because they've probably done that to 20,000 sets of racks of ribs before.
Yeah, it didn't work that way for me.
Right.
I mean, I got it off, but it was a chore.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was a chore. Mm-hmm. So
the best way that I've found for me is I get it started, and then I get my really sharp fillet knife, and then I kind of just do it skin. You can see that fibrous texture that holds the skin.
Basically,
to the
same thing you'd fillet a fish with is absolutely the knife that you're using to get it off. Okay.
Yeah, but it's kind of more of a scraping technique. You stay more towards the skin than the meat, so you're not taking the meat off of the rack of ribs, and then you just slowly cut that visceral lining again. It's a fibrous material, and you just cut those fibers and you pull that really thin skin off as you're using the knife.
You know, I got a great idea. Next time we do the show, what if I get some regular ribs instead of the rib tips?
Okay.
And you can show me.
Yeah, we'll do it live on the YouTube channel. Yeah. We'll put some cutting boards here at the station.
I got some paper. We can paper this puppy out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, because that's not an easy thing to do, and it makes a difference. So unless you like that chewy
plus,
you know, crack on the back of the rib. But
yeah, we can multitask, too. We can get the prep work for the after barbecue, after show barbecue done on air, and we can have people check out our YouTube show on how to do some cooking.
And afterwards, we can videotape it. And, we can post up to YouTube.
Absolutely.
Well.
Yeah, let people see how to do it right. You know, that'd be a good one.
Well, before we run out of time, though, I think we want to make sure that the time doesn't get away from us and that we figure out how do we tell our listeners to get those free tickets to the show.
Yeah, I agree. We got to figure out how we're going to give away those tickets.
What do you think?
Should we have them call
in? Pick a number 1 through 10, Bert. 1 through 10.
3.
Three. All
Caller
right.
Caller number three.
Caller number three.
We're going to get you two tickets to Side Slitters Comedy Club.
Side Slitters Comedy Club.
To go see Tom, who was on the air earlier.
Yep.
And let's say whenever you're ready, the number to call is locally 727-441-3000
or 866-826-1340. If you're listening online, TantalkNetwork.com, TantalkNetwork.com. And of course, if you got one of those handy dandy smartphones, make sure you download the TuneIn Radio app. Look for the Tantalk Radio Network to hear this show along with all the fine shows on this radio station. You're in the cave, the man cave on Hollywood Connections. Back to you.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to do one thing that I promised to do. And we got some of the Moose and Scooters barbecue sauce here, and it's what we're going to make the rib tips with.
Right on. I've been looking forward to this since the last show.
Yeah.
This is, I promised that I wouldn't do it until the show because I wanted to get reactions of the sauce that we talked about on the last show.
Right. And this is the dowry, right?
This is the
this
family
is what
dowry.
What he inherited for marrying into
where
the family.
My buddy Moose got for getting married, and he's going with it. Mm-hmm. You want one of these?
Yeah, Peter needs some.
Yeah. Can we get Peter some?
I'll get it to him.
All right. Let's, you want to wait for Peter? Want to wait? You ready for some sauce?
Well, I'm ready for the sauce, so we got a third caller.
All right.
And it's somebody we know. Go ahead, caller. Who are you?
Yeah, it's Rob from Clearwater. Like to say, great show tonight.
Yeah, and he's got so side splitter tickets.
All right, Rob. Well, congratulations. Enjoy that show. Tom is hilarious.
Good job, Rob.
Okay, thank you, Pete.
All right, buddy. See ya.
All right. Okay, we're ready for Moose and Scooter sauce. Everybody ready?
It smells
gotta wait
great,
for Bert.
Man.
Hold on, Bert's coming back in.
Hurry up, Bert, or I'm gonna eat the spoon.
All right. I don't mean to have dead air, guys. We're just waiting.
We're just waiting here
for a second. That's because of the sauce.
All right. Here goes. All right.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was good.
Oh, yeah.
Really good. A little spicy, but it's okay. Good, spicy, tangy.
Mm-hmm. Smoky, sweet finish.
I need some ribs.
Oh, that's going to be good.
I need some, some barbecue chicken. I need some more chicken, bro.
Yeah, that is good. I can do it.
Need some of that smoked pork to go
in.
Yeah,
let's get that seared up.
Now, let's get some wings in here.
Moose and Scooters does a barbecue business. You can go to them on Facebook. They are building their webpage. It's fairly a new barbecue business. I know they spent like a crazy amount of money on that grill.
Oh, yeah.
But crazy amount of money on the grill. But
yeah, they trailer the smoker to location for you. You can get with them and check out their catering menus and their
They'll do weddings. They'll do.
They do weddings. They'll do bar mitzvah. They'll do and just a family gathering. You know, sometimes growing up and being in the restaurant industry, you know, I wish I would have just had somebody else there to cook sometimes, and that's a blessing in disguise. You know, a lot of people want to always think that they have to be the ones doing the cooking at their holiday parties. But you can give somebody like Moose and Scooter a call, and they'll come out, set up for you, do the setup and the breakdown, and take care of your family and friends.
You know, I've been to a lot of weddings, okay? And in a lot of weddings, I've had some really terrible catering. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Terrible.
Right.
Where the food was dry, it was this and that. Okay.
Pre-cooked.
And you might spend $100 a plate at a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Easy. Plate per person.
Typically starts at $20 to $30.
Now, it might be a Florida thing, okay, that people would do this, but I don't think so. I would rather have some good barbecue and good food, you know, that people will enjoy at my wedding. But I'm a guy. I mean, but,
right,
you know, barbecue, you know, a really good barbecue set up.
Absolutely.
You know. And
the pulled pork, the ribs, the chicken,
corn on
the cob,
some nice rolls with it, you know,
absolutely,
corn on the, like you said, corn on the cob,
fresh made coleslaw,
potato salad, coleslaw, macaroni salad. That, you know, that to me, I'm a guy, okay,
right.
My wife might disagree with all of this, but I don't think so. I think she'd be like, no, let's not spend $100 a plate,
right?
You know, let's give people food they love.
Yeah.
You know,
you want them to hang out and have a good time, and you got to eat.
You got to eat, and you know, it would just be just a smarter way to do things. You know,
absolutely. Just even a deep fried turkey, I love.
Oh yeah, deep fried turkey.
Backyard, outside.
You know, having a big Thanksgiving party this year. I know you're going to be gone, but you should make it back by that night, right?
We'll probably make it back.
Okay, no. I'm having a big Thanksgiving party.
Okay.
And you should know you don't want to miss my parties.
All right.
I'll be making my ham. So
okay.
You'll get my ham.
All right.
Okay. And you'll also get my turkey and my dad's stuffing.
All right.
You'll get to try that. My dad made a stuffing that's not like most people's stuffing. It's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hamburger-based dressing.
Okay.
And the way he cooks it and what he added to it, you know, I've had a lot of people just say, I've never, ever tasted anything like this. Or I hate stuffing, but this ain't stuffing.
No.
Okay. I had one lady that came over to my house and she said, man, when I was coming to your house, I thought I was going to have the most bland food and this and that. She goes, I got to tell you, you cook with soul. Well, what was cool about that is my dad, it was his recipe, so it was really giving my dad a compliment.
I think we need to have a stuffing competition then, because I'll put my mom's stuffing
up
against your dad.
I love tasting other people's
stuff. Oh, yeah, no, I'd love stuffing. I think it's a meal in itself. It could just be, way it sounds like your dad made it with the hamburger-based dressing.
I'll put my mom's sweet potatoes versus everybody's.
Boom.
All right.
What I'm saying right there.
Yes.
You know Marshmallows. You're invited to the Thanksgiving party if you
Thanksgiving
want to
Thanksgiving cook-off.
Oh, yeah, where's that at?
My house.
Your house?
Yeah.
Is it on Thanksgiving or is it before Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving.
Thanks. Well, I'm probably with my family, but I'll try to come by.
Yeah, you can stop by. You can always test the food.
Okay. Yeah, you can probably do that.
Radio family.
We can always have that late midnight snack.
That's it.
Yeah, you know, if you didn't work late tonight, you'd be coming too, and If I can figure a way to bring you some ribs down, I might just get on the motorcycle and come down and drop you some.
Hey, man, that's really nice of you. I appreciate that.
Right, yeah. We might have to just send it via Uber or something because I don't know if I'll be driving down here later.
I do have some beer at the house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, I'll be stopping on my way in. Yeah. I got to get my IPAs and my double IPAs.
Yeah, well, I don't ride the bike with if I drink.
Right,
anything,
absolutely.
So. And we also are waiting for another couple of things to go on. We have next week, I believe, from Side Splitters, we have another comedian coming on. I'm not going to tell you who because he's really, really funny also, okay? Probably one of my favorite comedians out right now.
Oh, yeah. He's hilarious.
Yeah. And there's something I want to touch base on if we have time, and it's a guy issue. What I want to talk about is football.
Oh, my goodness.
And I want to hit on this, and I want your opinion, and I want your opinion. I know your opinion, because your opinion and my opinion are spot on.
All right.
But
what did I walk into?
Yeah, what'd you walk into, Sports Fanatic? I'm talking about, and I hate killing this cliche, but we wanted to talk about the last two shows, but it got so busy we didn't have time.
Right.
And I want to talk about taking a knee. Okay?
Right.
Now, here's what I have to say. I understand. I really understand why the players are taking a knee. Okay? I get why they're doing it. Mm-hmm. Okay? But I believe in my own personal belief, okay, that you stand. Okay? Take a knee in any other circumstance. Right now, I'm paying to watch football. I don't want to know your politics.
Right.
I don't want to know anything else. I'm playing to watch football. Okay. I don't want to get upset because you don't want to stand. If you don't want to be out on the field, you don't have to be out on the field. Okay. You could stay in the locker room until it's over. I won't disrespect that. Okay. You have every right. And I believe in your cause. I believe that there are issues that are going on that are so, in my opinion, ridiculous. And it needs to get taken care of. But there's better formats than a football game,
right?
In my opinion, for you to do that in. And not only am I for your cause, I contact me. I'll help you with your cause, not on my football field.
Right.
Okay? Now, what do you feel, Bert and John?
Absolutely. If you command millions of dollars a year, you have enough money to take this to a different venue, you don't need to take it to bring it into my house, I guess you could say. It costs a great deal of money to go to a football game these days. And I just don't need to see your particular politics. And I'm all about your politics, but you just don't need to throw it in front of my face while I'm spending $500 to bring my family to a football game.
Exactly. And you got to have to say something about
right.
it.
Right. I mean, it what it boils down to is, everybody, it's freedom of speech, so I support their freedom of speech. I don't support the venue in which they are, taking that. And then on the other hand, being a sports guy myself and growing up playing team sports, to have some people kneeling, some people standing, it's just really, it creates division amongst the team, and it's really not the right place for it. I'm all for the entire team waiting in the locker room, so they don't have to have that politics. And I think a lot of it has to do with us as media and TV and radio. When we talk about it too much, we give it too much attention. We're giving it more validity than it's worth. And I think that the athletes need to come together as a team and decide what they're going to do, and whether it's going to be stand on the sideline unified together as a team, or if it's going to be in the locker room unified together as a team and opting out of being there. I forget the team that recently happened, where there was a guy who served in the armed forces.
New Orleans.
It was in New Orleans.
Yes.
Yeah.
The team that Tampa Bay is playing, they tried to salute him because he's a Navy guy, and they wanted, I believe, a Navy SEAL, and they wanted to salute him with an award. And he said, basically, look, I'm not accepting your award because I don't respect you and what you're doing to the anthem. I don't respect you kneeling it during the anthem. So,
right.
And they basically shot back at him and said, look, we don't need you. We're going to do whatever you want to. Well, okay, you do whatever you want to.
Right.
And that person will do whatever they want to, and everybody else will do whatever they want to. And what they're going to do right now is shut your ratings off. They're going to shut the TV off because exactly what Bert said and what everybody said on this panel, nobody wants politics mixed with sports. Do I understand they have a message? Absolutely. There's a better way to do it, I think. Absolutely. That's my opinion.
You know, sports is it's a way to escape for us. You know, we get to go, we get to watch. We get
a battle.
100% you know? Enthralled in modern day gladiators, you know.
Correct.
Going toe-to-toe on the middle of the football field.
Correct.
And that's our opportunity to escape our everyday life, our opportunity to live into a dream for the youth to live into and see that that's what they want to do and they want to pursue that. That's just it's almost like sacred ground.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, I go to a game. I'm sitting there. I'm ready. I got my snacks. I got my drink. I'm ready to go. And it's kind of like, you know, you're going to do something and all of a sudden somebody goes, well, I think we got to talk first, honey. And you're like, oh, man, I don't want to look at that. You know, I mean, I want to watch football. You're pulling me out of football to bring me here. And I don't want to be here. I want to be in football.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and that's my feeling about it. Now, again, I believe their cause. I have seen stuff, man, the way people get treated, that is absolutely disgusting to me. You know, on the other hand, I've seen people who deserve to be treated the way they get treated.
I think what we're missing in this society these days, whether it's a sports talk show or a political show or any other show, we need to respect each other and each other's opinions, okay? We have a different opinion. You know, don't hate that person. Don't say, well, because you like Donald Trump, you're racist. No, I just voted for Donald Trump because I didn't want to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
That's all. I get that.
And everybody makes these generalizations and these stereotypes, and that's what causes division, and that's what I hate about the whole deal with the kneeling. If they want to kneel, fine, they kneel. But it's almost like they're imposing their will on me, and if I don't like it and I don't agree with their cause, there's something wrong with me. No, there's not something wrong with me. It's like you said, I want my football by itself. I don't want to speak politics. I don't want to talk about all that stuff. I just want football. That's it.
Yeah, I get you. You know, I mean, I am there to entertain. If I hired a magician to come to my kid's birthday party, okay, and that magician, before he began to do his magic act, did something else, talked politics, I would fire him before he ever got started.
It'd be a pretty funny show, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but you know
clown
what I mean?
Talking
all these
politics?
Little kids, all these little kids sitting there waiting.
Don't we already have one of those people already on TV?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
a couple of them. But you know, it's one of those things that you just sit and go, "Come on, guys! You know, let's pick a place for our argument. I'll support you. I've seen unfair treatment. I get what you're doing. I don't agree with where you're doing it."
Right.
Absolutely.
So, you have any other comments on that, guys? I mean, anything on football?
Hey, stand up for the flag. Stand up for the United States. Stand up for the children that are watching you. Your team says a city on it, or all cities, I believe. Tampa Bay.
Right.
You're representing your community. So you have to stand up. If it says IBM or Toyota, well, then maybe that might be something different. But until then, stand up for the flag and stand up for your team and stand up for the United States.
And I really want to say to all the players out there that do stand, okay, we appreciate it. Because I know you guys are getting peer pressure, too, from your teammates to take a knee. You know, you should be really proud that you decided not to do that. I wanted to also talk about, we got a few minutes left, the church giveaway that happened last week at
Absolutely.
Beaming Hope Church. It was a great service, and this pastor is really a funny guy, mm-hmm. okay? He's a New Yorker, New Jersey guy, okay? He gets you involved in the church. It's really a cool thing. As a matter of fact, on the giveaway, I got a brand new juicer, which is really cool because right now cranberries are in season.
Right.
And I went through some kidney stone problems a couple weeks ago, and the cranberry juice that I was making after Sunday was I like it better. I had a juicer before; it wasn't as good.
Okay.
You got a lot of pulp in it from the last one I had. This one, there's no pulp.
All right.
Very little foam, okay? And I drank it, and it tasted better than anything I got in the store. It wasn't too bitter or anything like that either. But I got that from the church, and guess what? I didn't have a kidney infection, you know, an infection of my kidneys from the stones.
Right.
I made apple juice yesterday. Went and got some fresh apples. Oh, yeah. I took a sip of it. Being from Wisconsin, we have apple trees. You know, and in the wintertime, you go, there's a place that we used to go that you would go in the barn and the door would be open and it was an honor system. You put money in a jar and you walked in and you took what you wanted and, you know, but there was a price on it. You know, you just put it in the jug and you left. Mm-hmm. When I made this apple juice with the juicer yesterday, it was like stepping back in time.
Oh, yeah.
To where I was a kid. And it was absolutely delicious. We got a really cool glass crystal bowl, you know, for on the piano.
Uh-huh.
Lena got a little Bluetooth speaker. I know Bert got
a giant bicycle.
Cruiser bicycle.
Beach Cruiser giant.
And then Dawn got
real nice.
Dawn got a Christmas angel that looks just like her.
Yeah, it's almost funny. It's almost amazing. It lights up, it moves, it sings.
Yeah, she got one that looks just like her. So my sister, the angel. I wonder how she's doing today. Man, this is a neat one for her, too. You know.
Yeah, well, she's up in Alabama.
Alabama.
Doing the Barbizon thing, and we wish Barbizon well, and sign up for Barbizon.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about stuff in Alabama. I keep in this head. You know, I had some really, really good peaches that came from Alabama the other day. Really? And I didn't know Alabama grew peaches.
I thought Georgia was some peaches.
Yeah, Georgia was a peaches.
All over the South. Well, they got Florida.
There's Florida peaches. They got Georgia peaches. Yeah, but these
Grand Junction, Colorado has some really good peaches, too.
Do they?
Yeah. Off the chain.
Yeah.
Western Slope peaches.
What's the weather like over there right now? I know you talked to Justin today.
In Colorado, it's cold.
It's cold. Yeah.
That's
it'll
official.
Be cold till April.
Yeah.
Actually, I take that back. Denver has fabulous weather. If you're in the mountains in the ski town, it's cold. It will not be warm until May.
Yeah.
Denver, great weather. It's a high alpine desert, and it does not hold snow. January will see temperatures in the 60s. It just depends. Fronts come in. It's like here. Fronts come in and they go. Cold for a few days, get some snow. Everything melts. Snows again. Everything melts. All of a sudden, it's spring.
Yeah. I want to go sooner or later.
It's a fabulous place in the world.
I got my niece skis for Christmas this year.
Wow.
I just got her skis, and I'm going to get her back. Getting back to her, that's kind of a cool thing.
I'm looking forward to taking little man up north, back up to the Georgia mountains, and hitting some little slopes with him, letting him get into some of those winter sports. I got him down here in football, baseball, everything else, so he enjoyed it last year, and I'm excited for winter to be here.
Right on. Well, we all like winter coming here. It gets hot, and we need to thank again Don Reese, Hollywood Connections. This has been a production of, and this is our fourth show of the Man Cave.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and if you guys can, you can go to my Facebook page. The station has a web page. Do they have a comment section of the web page at all?
Yeah, we got a comment page. Yeah,
guys, leave a comment how you like the show. Maybe we'll do some more of it. You know, but let us know. And congratulations to our ticket winner, and everybody go see Tom Cotter tomorrow if you can over at Side Splitters Comedy Club.
Right.
If you need backyard kitchens, you need to contact
Premier Outdoor Living and Design at www.premieroutdoorlivinganddesign.com or 727-812-1762.
Guys, we're going to go have a good barbecue. Good night.
All right, good night. Let it go.